Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Uncle Dan Rosen hops on the hotline. Are the Lightning risking too much by continuing to start Vasi? Who on the Penguins should be targeted down the stretch? And what's the panic level in Toronto? Plus, DFS strategy and picks for Tuesday. It's NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's up, everybody? Pete and Rob here with you talking fantasy on this Tuesday morning. What's going on, Rob?
March Madness, Pete, underway, fully consumed. I reworked my bracket at least 10 times this morning.
We got both of our brackets filled out, but we got Dan Rosen first coming on the line to join us. How's it going, Dan?
What's up, Dan?
What's going on, guys? If I cough, it's just because I've got a cough, so we'll deal with that.
Are you at the Garden today, or are you at home?
I'm home right now, but going to the Garden in a little while for a game tonight that doesn't have much meaning to it in the case of the Rangers and Red Wings. It does for the Rangers and Red Wings. It doesn't for the standings, though. These games are important for these teams and the stages that they're in.
Another game in the New York area tonight, probably the headliner, especially with the news of David Pastrnak. Boston Bruins could potentially return tonight or maybe later this week. But from a fantasy standpoint and generally speaking, how much more dangerous does this make this Boston Bruins team moving forward?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Pastrnak is an elite player. He's an elite scorer, and the Bruins were winning without him. So you have to see them being that much better with him. And it's not like he comes in and disrupts things that are going on there. He'll slide right back in on that top line with Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron. But Danton Heinen has played better, so he's got more confidence. And the Bruins as a whole have played well without Pastrnak, so they're going to continue to go. He's not a disruptive influence coming back in the lineup that he has to have his spot and he needs the puck and this, that. No, he's going to slide right back into the spot that he's comfortable in, and he'll probably do his scoring, and I think it just makes them that much better. And really, I mean, when you consider the way the teams are trending right now, really should help them solidify that number two spot, get the home ice advantage to play to Toronto in the first round. And, you know, by playing these last 10 games, Pastrnak will get his game back up to speed too, which will help him getting back in, you know, to get into the playoffs as well. So this is good on multiple levels for the Boston Bruins.
Torrey Krug also close to returning with a fully healthy lineup. Dan, do you see this team being hard to beat in the playoffs, especially if they make it to potentially play in the Tampa Bay Lightning, who everybody's talking about right now?
Yes, they'll be very difficult to beat. No question about it. They're solid top to bottom. They're strong defensively. They're good in goal. They're very well coached. Excuse me, and they're experienced. They've got a ton of it. So they're going to be very hard to beat. But here's the thing. Like, I think it's becoming almost a popular thing now. People look like, oh, who can knock off Tampa? Who can do this? Tampa's the best team in the league for a reason. They're the deepest team. They're the best team. They are also very well coached. And one thing with Tampa to me that is really impressive is they continue to play really good hockey in games that, frankly, you know, they're just kind of warm-ups now for the playoffs. And they're going out and they're playing. I mean, the Arizona Coyotes had a ton to play for, you know, the other night. And there goes Tampa, and they beat them 4-1. Yes, they got two empty net goals. But, you know, Arizona played well, and Tampa was still that much better than them. So it's becoming a popular thing to look at and say, oh, could Tampa do this? Are they tough enough for this? People want to nitpick at Tampa, and they've got 116 points for a reason. But that said, to answer your question, yeah. No question about it. The Bruins will be a tough out. They provided their health. Remember, last year in the playoffs, they weren't healthy, and Tampa beat them in five games. So if they're healthy, they're going to be much tougher.
I honestly, number one, believe in the President's Trophy curse. I think that's a real factor here when you look at Tampa. But number two, they're still starting Andrei Vasilevsky in, I mean, for them, yeah, it was a pretty meaningless game against the Coyotes. You mentioned the Coyotes, on the other hand, had a lot to play for. But Vasi, I mean, you got to worry about running this guy into the ground.
He's still young. He's had time off, you know, this season because of an injury. You know, you want to say that, I get it, but he still only played 47 games this season. You know, there are goalies who are above 60 right now, and he's played 47. So I don't think you run the risk of it, to be honest with you. I really don't. And I think, you know, over the last 10, you know, what, 9 games left, I mean, if you think about it, Louis Domingue is going to get some time here. There's no question. You know, they've got a back-to-back coming up Wednesday, Thursday, right? Washington, Carolina. Louis Domingue will play one of those games. Then look at next week. They play Boston on Monday, and they don't play again until Saturday. Why can't Vasilevsky start both of those games? He should start both of those games. And then the follow, you know, the week, the last week of the regular season, they play four games in 6 days. Vasi will probably get two games. Domingue will get two games. And Vasi will only be at, what, 53 games this season? That's not running him into the ground, and he's not going to play a ton in the last week of the season either. So he should be raring to go once the playoffs start. I don't think it's going to be a concern.
For a player with some injury history, I do think it is a concern, and I don't think you can just throw this guy out there every night, especially when the games are completely meaningless.
Throwing him out there every night. Like, they're not going to do it. He's not going to play in the back-to-back. He's not going to play both games, Washington, Carolina. He'll play one of them. And then they play St. Louis on Saturday, and then Boston on Monday, and then Washington on Saturday. So it's three games in 8 days.
I'm just a little bit of a skeptic. Tom Wilson coming through the crease is not a player that I'd want to put Vasi in front of.
They'll start him against Carolina.
let me get something in here. So Vegas, let's use them as an example. They have Marc-Andre Fleury, probably the biggest workhorse in the league. Now he's dealing with a lower body injury. They have Malcolm Subban out there. When you're talking about the top flight teams in the league that have an elite workhorse goaltender, you have to have him healthy. You have to have him in top form come playoff time. And I think that's an example of where there's some concern. I mean, I know Vegas is scoring out of this world, but it's a big point of emphasis, I think, for them the rest of this stretch.
It is. It is. But Fleury's out with an injury. Okay. So, I mean, like, could he play if this were the playoffs? I don't know the extent of the injury. But he's also played in 59 games this season. So if he comes back and plays two or three before the end of the regular season, that's a tune-up for him for the playoffs, but he's still over 60 games. Vasilevsky had time off. And remember, players also, like, he had time off. He had the bye week. He was at All-Star weekend, but he didn't, I mean, it's not like a very taxing weekend for a goaltender at All-Star weekend. And so he's played a number of games here. They have 9 games left. If he plays in 5 or 6 of those games and stays healthy, because he could play in 1 and get hurt. It doesn't really, we don't know. But if he stays healthy and plays in 5 or 6 of those games, from a Lightning perspective, you're keeping him involved and you're keeping him fresh and ideally keeping him healthy, so he's ready to go. And then if from a fantasy perspective, you're getting 5 or 6 more potential wins out of Vasilevsky.
That is true. I think I'm just a little biased because I do have Louis Domingue sitting on my bench, so I am hoping for more games.
Well, there you go.
That cat's out of the bag. But Evgeny Malkin, Pittsburgh Penguins, out week to week. They're in the thick of the playoff race right now. Where do you see that affecting the Penguins?
Yeah, I don't like the term week to week. I think that is something that's concerning. You hear day to day, you think, okay, a guy will be back in a game or two, right? Week to week means it's something more serious, and week to week could be he's not back until the playoffs or until, you know, maybe the last few games of the season, you know, where hopefully the Penguins have already clinched and now Gino can get his, you know, game or two in. They play, I mean, their last two games of the season, last three games of the season, Detroit, and the Rangers, right? So those are very winnable games, obviously, for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And it's, I haven't done the math, but it's certainly possible that they could have been clinched by then. It's going to be harder in the time being. Like Carolina, they play Carolina. That's going to be a tough game. That's a tough game. They're so hard to play. And now you got to play it without Malkin. So who steps in? Teddy Bluger? Like, he stepped in and was good against Flyers, but I mean, how much can you trust him? And then they play Nashville and Dallas. So they hit the road. They've got some tough games for the rest of this month. But if they can get through them, and they're in a good spot. I mean, they're 7 points up in the playoff race right now. So they're in a good spot, whether it's in the 2-3 matchup or if it's a wild card. You want to avoid the second wild card, no question about it. But otherwise, I think you're in a fine spot where you're the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they're 4 points up on the second wild card with 9 games to play. So they should be able to survive without Malkin for a handful of games here. But week to week scares me, and if that's going to be the case, then if he can't come back for the rest of the regular season, and I don't know, now you're starting the playoffs with Malkin having to find his game again, and that's the danger, I think, when you start the playoffs.
So you mentioned Dan Teddy Bluger, the rookie. He played on the second line with Brian Rust, who came back from injury, and Phil Kessel. So now, looking for fantasy purposes, a lot of one thing that people are asking themselves right now, are you taking Nick Bjugstad for the rest of the season or Jared McCann? Decent lineup placement for each. Which guy do you like better for the rest of the stretch?
Well, I like McCann. McCann's playing with Sidney Crosby. You know, I think, right? I mean, he's still with Sidney Crosby. I'm not mistaken on that. I believe, correct? Am I correct on that?
He was Crosby
top last
line,
game, right?
Baby.
Yeah. So I like the guy who's going to play with Sidney Crosby because Sidney Crosby is playing excellent hockey right now. And granted, he made a couple of mistakes actually at the end of the Flyers game the other night that was a struggle, and he's a minus five in the last two games. That's un-Sidney Crosby-like, but I just look at that as a two-game blip, really. That's not, you know, typical of what Sidney Crosby and what you expect from him. But I would take Jared McCann simply because of the guy he's playing with, and Sidney Crosby has this ability to make anybody around him, you know, a point producer, a much better player, and if he continues to do that, then you're gonna see a lot more out of him. You should be getting more out of McCann than you will Bjugstad just because of the guy he's playing with.
I want to get your thoughts on the Toronto Maple Leafs, Stan. We saw some crazy games over the weekend with them. What's the pulse in Toronto?
Fear. You know, worry. This is one of the issues that the Toronto Maple Leafs have been dealing with all season is defensively, right? And they got Muzzin, and that was good. But before the deadline, they really did not address that again, and you know Muzzin was a great add, but now, you know, they've given up in the last, you know, week here. They gave up 6 to Tampa, 5 to Chicago, 6 to Philly, 6 to Ottawa. It was 4 games in 6 nights, but that's a lot of goals. The puck is going in their net a lot, and defensively they look a little bit of a mess, and that is the biggest concern. Because to me, when you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know you can score. But when you get to playoff hockey and the games get tighter, and when you're playing teams like Chicago and Philly who are trying to get in, and Nashville as tonight who's trying to find its game again, it's going to be harder to outscore your problems defensively. And the Leafs, for a while, have been able to outscore their problems defensively. Or Freddie Anderson has been really good. But now they need to find a way to just hunker it down defensively and not so much worry about trying to score 5 a night, because they don't want to need 5 a night. And so I think it's a concerning time in Toronto because they're in a tough spot knowing they have to play the Boston Bruins, and Boston might be the second or third best team in the league right now. So it could be you're potentially looking, because of the playoff format, and another first-round exit if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs. And then you're thinking to yourself, where's the progress? Even though there is progress, where is it? Because we can't win in the playoffs. So they have to find their game defensively in the last 10 games here so they can go into that series feeling good about it, because if not, the Bruins are going to blitz them.
One interesting storyline there in Toronto, Kasperi Kapanen about to come back from a concussion. Would you break up the Nylander-Matthews duo right now and put Kapanen back on that line?
I'd give it a little more time with Nylander. I think you need Nylander. I think he's got to be a guy that, you know, you need to find, you know, to win. And he's gotten some production of late. Now, again, defensively is the same type of issue. The whole team's struggling defensively. But he's gotten some production of late, some assists of late. I would keep it together and let Kapanen come back in and play on another line and see if you can get with Nylander and Matthews that combination that really I think the Leafs have been waiting to see and wanting to see. But because of Nylander's struggles for so long since he started the season, Mike Babcock really hasn't had the leash to let it happen. I think he's got to have the leash to let it happen now.
It just seems like there's a huge disconnect between their D and their forwards watching the game.
It seems
all jumbled up. I think that's the number one thing that sticks out to me about the Leafs. It's a major concern.
And look, let's not discount it. I mean, Jake Gardner and Dermott, right? I mean, those are two important players on this defense. Travis Dermott and Jake Gardner are two very important players in defense, and they're out. They've been out. So you're asking more of other guys. You're asking more of Ron Hainsey, Justin Hall, Martin Marincin, Ozzie Godoff, you know, when these guys are in. And Dermott and Gardner, to me, are top four defensemen for them. So they're missing half of their top four defense with the way they play, and that's a hard miss. But they've got to find a way without it. And you're right. I think part of it is that jumbled mess in the middle. Like, your forwards and your D not being on the same page leaves the gaps too big, and you know, especially coming through the, you know, as the other team's coming through the neutral zone. And, you know, it hangs your goalie out to dry too often when that happens.
And, yeah, that was just the matchup against Ottawa, it's just unfathomable that they lost that game. They have four or five elite forwards. Ottawa has virtually an AHL roster right now. So that's hard to understand. Another team that's been tough to get a pulse on lately, St. Louis Blues, with Tarasenko out. Perron came back, looks really good from a fantasy angle, but this team has dropped some games recently that have been head-scratchers. What do you think about St. Louis moving forward into the playoffs? Because they were as hot as anybody, but now hitting a bump once again.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to keep up the way they were as hot. You know, I mean, they were. You're right. They were as hot as anybody. And that was going to be a hard pace for them to keep on. And they had to get that pace just to get into the position that they're in right now. So I think it's, you know, a point in right now without Tarasenko, you kind of have to reevaluate a little bit. You know, losing in a shootout to Buffalo, is, you know, you got to get 2 points out of that game. You know, they blew out Pittsburgh, but then you don't even score against Ottawa. You went one against Arizona. This is tough, but they got winnable games against Edmonton and Detroit in their next two. Easy way for them to get back on track. And then if you look at the end of the month, they're at the Rangers and they're at the Devils. And I know those are road games and it's the road back-to-back, but those are winnable games for the Blues. And they've got to find a way to get back. And they're defensively, they've been fine, but they need to find that scoring, you know, that balance again. And they're going to have to do it without Tarasenko. So I think Perron coming back to the lineup is big, because it gives him an opportunity from a fantasy perspective, like you said. But he's an offensive guy. He's got a nose for the net. He can score. So maybe just a little bit of extra offense helps without Tarasenko. But that's a big miss. Tarasenko's a big miss. He was playing so well.
Huge miss, but I did have an interesting stat on the Blues, Stan. They lead the NHL in goals scored by defensemen, considering they've all kind of had like down seasons from a fantasy angle. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, well, they're getting good value production, and they're getting it's a cumulative production from their D, right? So nobody is blowing it away, but you get 11 from Vince Dunn, you know, you get 12 from Pietrangelo, you get 10 from Parayko. So you get three guys in double digits in goals on your defense, and that helps, you know, that's big. But you're right. I mean, they're not blowing anybody away with their production. I mean, if you looked at Alex Pietrangelo and you said, oh, 12 goals, 21 assists, you know, in 60-some-odd games, be like, oh, that's fair and reasonable production to expect from Alex Pietrangelo. In fact, maybe you expect a little bit more, but, you know, three guys in double digits, they're getting production from the back end. Bomeister scored the other night. So, you know, they get that production, but it's not like one guy is blowing it away. So where you can say, okay, well, this Tarasenko's out, so maybe they can, you know, use their D a little bit more and, you know, try to make it revolve around that a little bit, get more shots that way. No, it's more of just a couple of guys here and there, you know, sprinkling in goals here and there.
And what about Jake Allen or Jordan Binnington to start the playoffs?
Well, let's see who's playing what better down the stretch. But I mean, it's got to be Jordan Binnington, right?
You think so?
I mean,
yeah.
It's got to be Jordan Binnington. He, no offense to Jake Allen, but I mean, Jordan Binnington saved their season, you know. And even if you look in the last little stretch here, I mean, he's been good. They struggled a little bit. They've struggled a little bit, but it's on the offensive end. It's not on the defensive end. Or the goaltending perspective. You know, he's been pretty solid. You know, I would say, and I don't even think it's a question, to be honest, guys. I think it's got to be Binnington. But again, let's see how it goes in the last, what, how many games have they got? 10 games left here?
10 games left.
Let's see how it goes. Binnington should get more of the starts. He's earned it. He should get more starts. But if he struggles and Jake Allen plays well, then you switch.
I think Dave Satriano and I are the only two at the NHL that still believe in Jake Allen this season.
Yeah, I don't even know if the Blues necessarily believe in Jake Allen too much right now. But again, like I said, you know, you look at it, they've got opportunities here to get them both in the lineup. So to get them both starts here. They need the wins. So let's see. They have four home games in a row here: Edmonton, Detroit, Tampa, and Vegas. The first two should be wins, no question. The second two will be a lot tougher. Maybe Binnington plays the first game. I don't know who's starting tonight. I haven't looked yet. But I think me personally, in the last 10 games, when you got a team that's still scratching the claw and clinch that playoff berth to get that X next to your name, I think you got to ride one guy. I don't think you can do too much with both. And I would ride Binnington here and see how far he can take me in this four-game homestand.
So you mentioned scratching and clawing. That's been the mantra of the Arizona Coyotes. Maybe the biggest surprise of the season. You look at the clarity in the playoff picture right now. That's the only spot that's really up for grabs. Is it going to be them or the Minnesota Wild? Which team do you like more over the final couple of weeks of the season? And where can you find fantasy value specifically from the Coyotes?
Well, I want to like the Coyotes more. I do. Because I think they want it more. And that, like, I just think that they're playing that way. Whereas Minnesota, you know, has had a lot of struggles of late and doesn't seem to want to take it. And here's Arizona. Darcy Kemper and net. They're all banged up everywhere. Stepan's out. They're without, what, I think they're, you know, three centers. They're all banged up. And here they continue to play well and continue to find ways. Ekman Larson's having a terrific season. I think if you're looking for fantasy value, I mean, the guy I'm looking at is Alex Galchenyuk. He had the two-goal game against Edmonton. He hasn't been that productive in the last little while, but he's the guy. You picked him up to score the big goals, to make the big plays. That's why they acquired him in the trade, to be the difference-making player, and that's who I would look at right now to try to be that difference-making player. But I want to say Arizona, because not just because they're in the spot right now, but because it looks like they just – They just seem to want it more. They're playing that way, and it's harder. Look, they're on the road now, but they're winnable road games. You know, Florida and New Jersey are their next two games. You know, Coyotes want it. They got to win those games. Let's see where they are, but I just believe in them a little bit more than I do the Wild, just because of what we've seen from the two teams lately.
So we know you went to Arizona, Dan. You like college hoops. Who you got in the Final Four this season?
Well, I don't have Arizona. I know that.
Nobody does.
And you don't have Penn State either, because that's where we went.
I don't have Penn State either, guys, but this is not a good year for my Wildcats. So we move on. We watch the tournament without having the stress of watching my team in the tournament. I got Duke, Gonzaga, Tennessee, and North Carolina, and I got Duke winning it all. And unfortunately, Duke winning it all. I don't like Duke, but I think they're the best team. They have the best player. The coach has done it, obviously, 1,000 times, but Arizona's not in it, so it's really not that important.
I've got Tennessee in the Final Four, Dan. I don't know if that's good or bad, because I know left from right in college basketball. And actually, beating Duke. Is that ludicrous? Or should I redo my bracket?
No, it's not ludicrous. I got Tennessee in the Final Four, too. They're good. They're a good team. I just think, Duke's got the best player, the biggest difference maker in Zion Williamson. So I'll go with Duke, even though my heart is with Arizona and my heart is broken this year.
I got UNC, actually. I think they're going to go head-to-head again for the fourth time. It'll be fun to see. And one other thing that I saw, actually, a little bit of a shot at the Pac-12. I saw that Penn State had the highest their KenPom ranking is higher than anybody. Even though it was sub-500, it was higher than anybody in the Pac-12 this season. So
great conference.
And the tournament committee threw a bone to Arizona State, and I don't know why they would do such a thing. They don't deserve it.
They're well coached. Good coaching there.
Bobby Hurley's screaming at somebody else right now. He's jumping up and down. He's nuts. They're Arizona State. They didn't deserve that. They didn't deserve that. Well, I'm a little biased. You know, come on.
Well, thank you for joining us, Dan, and enjoy the Rangers game this evening.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That was Dan Rosen, senior writer, NHL.com. We appreciate you hopping on. So, Rob, I sensed a little disagreement there with the Tampa Bay Lightning with their strategy the rest of the way. I'm kind of with you. I think that this Vasilevskiy thing has to be preserved because this is Tampa's year to win the whole thing.
There's nothing to play for. They have absolutely no reason to be throwing Vasilevskiy out in the net every single night. It just, whether you own Louis Domingue or not in fantasy, that just doesn't make sense to me. There's just too much parity in the NHL. There's too much risk of injury. Look at Ben Bishop in the Stars, Pete. That is the best example of it right now. He misses two or three games, kills a lot of people's fantasy seasons right there. I know we're not talking real hockey, but seriously, if he was to miss an extended period of time, like, that team could be potentially be shot, their playoff hopes gone.
Good news on the Bishop front. He could dress as early as Tuesday against the Florida Panthers, which is a nice little sneaky matchup between one of the best defenses in the NHL with Dallas and one of the best power plays in Florida.
I was reading a headline the other day saying, like, oh, it's too late for Florida yet again, but they could do the impossible. It's like, honestly, shades of last season when this was the same storyline for the same team. I don't understand what's going on with the scheduling. They have 14, they have the most games left. Great home schedule. Everyone wants to go to Florida at this time of year, so I think they're going to rack up a lot of W's there while teams are out, you know, tanning before the game and whatever.
Everybody likes to be in Florida this time of year when it's so cold up north in the northeast, northwest. So anyway, Florida Panthers, they actually started Sam Montembeau both of those games over the weekend, but they lost that game to the Anaheim Ducks. I mean, that's the crushing blow, as well as they were playing before that.
Yeah, that was probably the last hope they had for making a playoff push. But good for, I think, people just to see Sam Montembeau getting a playing shot here. I think we had hopes for Roberto Luongo this season. Those are long gone. And now Sam Montembeau should be able to carry load for the rest of the season. I do see a lot of sneaky value in this team. In DFS contests, I'd be cherry-picking that player.
How good has that top line been, though, for Florida? If you have Jonathan Huberdeau right now, you're sitting pretty. Alexander Barkov, maybe even Evgeny Dadonov's out there. He's one of the biggest risers in the top 100 forward rankings this week, which are on NHL.com/fantasy.
Barkov leads the NHL in points since February 17th. Mike Hoffman right up there with him. Keith Yandle right up there with him. Huberdeau, as you mentioned, right up there too. If that team could have played to their potential early in the season, I guess I don't even know why I'm saying that, because could have, would have, should have. But really, they have so much offensive upside. It's just for fantasy purposes, off the charts.
Yeah, the fact that the Montreal Canadiens are still in the playoff race and the Florida Panthers are not is kind of sad when you look at the talent difference, offensively speaking, in Florida's favor.
In your ranks, Drouin dropped out, I think, a couple of weeks ago of your top 100 forwards. Max Domi is trending down in your top 100 forwards. I think the only player on the Habs that we even perceive to have good value the rest of the season would be Brendan Gallagher.
Yeah, from a forward standpoint. And then, you know, Carey Price and Shea Weber are top-notch players at their positions. But from a forward standpoint, even Thomas Tatar off the radar right now.
And the saddest part is every forward on that team overachieved from what we expected this season. I think from not just us, Pete, but a lot of people expected this season. Their defense, Jeff Petrie, over-exceeded everybody's, including probably the coaching staff and management's expectations. Carey Price, he played to the absolute best of his ability, and he is a world-class goaltender. But I can't help but see a little bit of natural regression next season, which leads to a very average team.
Yeah, I don't even know that we've seen sustained success from Carey Price like we've seen in years past. So that was a wonder that they even hung around this thing for so long. But there are a couple of points out behind Columbus. It looks like Columbus, though, is in the driver's seat.
But that being said, Carey Price is a magician, and he could stonewall that team, shut them out, and it wouldn't even surprise me. The only thing that would surprise me if one of their forwards, like Domi or Drouin, we were just talking about, had like a breakout game and said, ooh, I'm going to carry this team the rest of the way. It's not going to be that. It's going to be Carey Price in a 1-0 shootout victory.
Well, how about Domi shows up for a game not against the Detroit Red Wings? I think he's had multi-point games, including a five-point game against them in the past month. I don't think he scored a point against, scored a goal, at least, in any other game besides those two.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about a bigger matchup tonight. Islanders-Bruins. There's not a lot of playoff implications in this one, Pete, but I think from a fantasy standpoint, we have Pastrnak potentially coming back. There's nothing more that needs to be said about that top line. But do you see the Islanders, what their fantasy value? Lehner may be starting. Grice was the first star of the week. Like, how do you even sort through that as a fantasy owner?
I like the Bruins pretty convincingly in this game. I think the Islanders have been good overall at the Coliseum, but they've hit some bumps in the road over the past few weeks in that building. So I think the Bruins, after the having McGregor in the house, mm-hmm. they're all, you know, jazzed up to have Pasternak back, maybe even Krug. We'll see if either of those guys play. But I think either if even if both of those guys are out, I think the Bruins' top line overwhelms the Islanders' new top line of Lee, Barzal, and Eberle and takes care of business here.
To me, Brad Marchand is a top five fantasy player in the NHL. He will be next season, too. I don't care what happens in the offseason. He is a top five asset. He brings it every single night, game-winning goals, shots. He does everything. And the way that he celebrated that OT winner where he did the little McGregor arm waggle, that is just in-your-face intensity that you cannot build that kind of culture. You either are born with that or you don't have it, period. And Brad Marchand has it. He tonight could single-handedly win that game for them. He is the best player on that line, one of the most fun players to watch, and I love that we have him in the game, even despite all those antics.
He has matured a lot this year after all the antics from the playoffs last year. I know he came in a little bit of a changed man to start the season. Definitely something special going on with the Boston Bruins in the locker room, on the ice, in the standings. They're probably the second-best team in the league right now.
And on Twitter, too, Brad Marchand's Twitter game is 10 out of 10. That guy is on fire every day. Give him a follow, and you will not regret it.
So Anders Lee from the Islanders has goals in four straight. That coincides with the switch to play with Matthew Barzal. Do you like this line moving forward for the rest of the season? I know the Islanders have a tough schedule the rest of the way, though, and Jordan Eberle just snapped out of his 17-game goal drought on the line with Barzal.
I was just going to say, I like that line because of Eberle, and I think this is a classic Trotz thing where he kind of buries a player like that in the lineup for a long time, but then late in the season or early playoffs, that player emerges as a threat. Look at Jakub Vrána last season. Same sort of thing happened there. So I do like this line. I don't know how much you can rely on them in DFS to spend above the 6K mark. But that being said, I would at least have one of those guys in my lineup almost every time the Islanders are on the slate, depending on the matchup.
So Penguins at Hurricanes is another headliner in terms of injury storylines with Malkin out. The Hurricanes are playing well right now. Andrei Svechnikov looks to have turned the corner in his rookie season for the final quarter.
Canes need to step up and win this thing big. There's no more excuses there. There's no more taking games off, taking nights off. They need to make a statement in every game for the remainder of the regular season. They cannot settle for the second wild card spot because they will get blown out of the water by the Tampa Bay Lightning.
So Ferland is back. He came back over the weekend, played two games, had one assist, but was on the third line. Who do you like more the rest of the way? You like Ferland, the category guy, or maybe the higher ceiling guy in Svechnikov?
I'm all for categories. I'm a safety net guy, and there's too many good players in fantasy where I don't think you should be worried about elite levels of production right now. The goals are going to come from your top round draft picks. Get Michael Ferland as your insurance policy. This guy is going to rack up hits. He's going to have a good plus minus. He's going to shoot the puck. Even if he's playing 12 to 13, 14 minutes a game, that is one of the players in the National Hockey League that does not concern me, his ice time.
Couple other players to keep an eye on for this Tuesday slate. How about JVR, probably the hottest goal scorer in the league right now for the Flyers?
Had a beautiful hat trick against his former team, the Toronto Maple Leafs. He is all class. Look at his season stats. Even though he's played a limited number of games this season, still racking up a ton of goals. And right now, Pete, that Flyers line is one of the hottest in the NHL. This is a team you cannot sleep on in fantasy for the rest of the season here.
And JVR is on a line with Claude Giroux, which is significant. He's been playing mostly away from Giroux for the past couple of weeks and months. And then you got that Couturier-Voracek line, so a lot of opportunity to score against the Canadians at home here.
And keep an eye on some sneaky value. If you need a defenseman, I'd look at Dmitry Orlov for the Washington Capitals. He is the most added player on Yahoo today. That, to me, Pete, tells me that people need defensemen in their championship matchups. Pick up a guy like Orlov. He's only going to help your categories. Four-game point streak, he will not hurt them.
I like Orlov a lot from the category coverage standpoint. He hits, he blocks, he chips in offensively at even strength. Another guy that's covering categories, though, for Montreal, we've been, harping on Montreal from a negative standpoint, but Andrew Shaw is playing with Domi, and he had a game recently with 7 shots on goal and 7 hits. How about that?
I love that, and that's a perfect example of your championship week. You don't be afraid to make different choices. I'll just share my experience. I lost in my semifinal matchups because I was riding the Toronto Maple Leafs goalies all season. I had Corey Crawford and the Chicago Blackhawks goalies on my bench. Well, it turns out Crawford and the Blackhawks, they were winning 5 straight up until until their matchup where they lost an OT to the Canucks. That being said, don't be afraid to tinker with something different. Try something, throw it at the wall, see if it sticks. I really believe in that strategy. That could win you your championship versus playing too conservative like I did, holding on to the Leafs like that.
Yeah, stubbornness can come back to bite you. I mean, even if you think you're making the logical decision, if you've seen kind of a strange trend or something that's concerning, and then you stick with that trend and maybe have some doubts, could come back to bite you and you could regret it.
And check out the strength of schedule piece that we have on NHL.com. That can also help make your decisions for you. I know a player that we talked about with Dan Rosen earlier was Jared McCann for the Pittsburgh Penguins. As long as they have the games played in a certain week, Pete, don't be afraid to drop one of your more elite players that's cold for a player like McCann who's playing with Crosby. You get the exposure and you also get some games played on a favorable schedule.
Yeah, a bunch of teams still have 3+ games this week. And the home road splits are available, NHL.com/fantasy. Also, the total games remaining and that strength of schedule that you mentioned in terms of opponents' points percentage across the league.
All that being said, the attention is definitely going to be on March Madness, kicking off Thursday and Friday. Sleeper team for me this season, Iowa State. Mark me down on the record right now.
I like, in the first round, I like Vermont. I've always been a big America East, Vermont to pull the upset here. I love what they had going. They beat UMBC in that, conference championship, looked really good. They have the history on their side. In terms of the Final Four, I like Purdue. I'm a Big Ten guy like you are. I've watched a lot of Purdue this year. They got Carson Edwards, all Big Ten, first team. And they got a 7'2", 7'3" mm-hmm. guy, Matt Harms, that could cause matchup nightmares for almost every team they play.
He drops threes like dimes, this guy. So, yeah, for sure. Purdue, I can see a little sneaky value there, no doubt about it. But I can't wait. I picked Tennessee to win this whole thing. I think that's completely out of left field, but come back to me in a couple weeks here. I might be the perfect bracket in America.
We'll see. I'm going the safe route for my championship matchup, Duke-UNC. I got UNC taking down Zion Williamson. We'll see if that happens. Hasn't
ratings
happened yet this year.
Ratings galore if that game does happen, but that'll do it for us today. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Please subscribe to the program on iTunes. Give us a review if we made you some money this far this season.
And hit us up on Twitter with your last-minute questions before Tuesday slate, and really for the rest of the season, just hit us up. We can get your fantasy team on track for the time that means most in the fantasy championship race. So for Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you again later in the week. Thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.